Well, hey, everyone. As we open up our culture segment today, I'm going to introduce you to Michelle Howe, and she is many things. In fact, earlier today, I was telling her, man, like, how many books have you written and like on how many different topics? Because it's like forever. But the one we're going to talk about today is very near and dear to my heart because you all know my story about my mom and caring for my mom. And her book is titled Caring for Our Aging Parents, Lessons in Love, Loss, and Letting Go. And I've often said, you know, oh, y'all, you know, you're like in your 20s and 30s, you're not having to deal with this. But one, some of you are because you have lost or are losing parents to cancer, to illness, to accidents, whatever. And two, you're in this space because maybe your grandma or grandpa is walking through end of life stuff and you're trying to help support your parents. And so, Michelle, thanks for being here and sharing some of your wisdom today.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to talking about this.
Well, this is cool. And you and I had the opportunity to tape for the Focus on the Family daily program today. We were both guests on that, sharing our experiences. And so I was like, yeah, we need to talk about this on Boundless too and tap into the stories that you have, which are super helpful. So, well, give us a little bit of an overview of what your caregiving experience was, because I think you and I had established that it's not like you plan, like, you know, your entire life to say, oh, yeah, someday I'm going to be a caregiver and I'm going to just have all my ducks in a row and be ready for it. And it just kind of happens to most people when we least expect it. So tell us a little bit about how you had to walk through it.
Well, we had four kids and they were teenagers at the time when our elderly neighbor, cousin slash substitute grandpa got really sick at age 70, and he had cancer, and he had open-heart surgery and Parkinson's and diabetes and many other things over a five-year period. And he was a lifelong bachelor. He was an only child. He never had children. All of his relatives were gone, so we were like it for family, and we were second cousins. So we just stepped up and tried to help take care of him, doctor's appointments. We took care of his dog, his bills, his house, his yard. I'd run and get his medicines. Anything he needed, we were there for him. But because I was parenting four teenagers and my husband is a teacher and a coach, we had very little reserve during that time, and we didn't have any idea what we were getting ourselves into.
Yeah. Well, and it's so, I mean, I'd even like to pause just for a second here, because I think so many in our audience are thinking, okay, so that was his story. And honestly, that could be my story someday. Mm-hmm. You said he was a bachelor. He didn't have children. And I know that's a big fear. I've talked about my fear of that on the show of just like, I'm single with no children. What's my future going to be like? Is anyone mm-hmm. going to be there to care for me? And so one, I think it's super encouraging to know that you were probably the answer to his prayers. I mean, otherwise mm-hmm. he would have had no one. And to think that you were his neighbors, you were his even extended family, and God put it on your heart to step in. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge, huge answer to prayer in that. But you will say, for example, that you know, I think you say you didn't do everything perfectly, you know, by any means, because you were juggling a lot of different things at that time.
Right. You know, I always say, you know, you learn by doing. Mm-hmm. You gain experience and wisdom by going through the tough trials. And we had plenty of those. And we made so many mistakes early on, not because we didn't care. We did. We loved him. We did our level best. But we were just not aware of the toll it was going to take for me on my marriage for a while, on our kids. And we weren't able to give him probably everything he needed because we were juggling so much. Little did we know that we should have tried to enlist his friends. He didn't mm-hmm. have family, but he had a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. We didn't think about it. Mm-hmm. Or that there's all these professional organizations who do lovely work, and mm-hmm. they're available, and it would have been covered by his insurance, and we didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You know, we needed to talk to a social worker early on. If we had known that, the experience would have been a lot smoother for him and for us.
Yeah. Well, let's back up a second and talk about that, because again, you know, here our audience, a lot of young adults who this hasn't even crossed their minds yet. I mean, these are, you know, we've got folks listening here who have parents in their 40s. I mean, so they're just like, this is like forever off, you know, in the distance. But what would you say even now, because you're, you know, you have adult kids, and even as you're looking forward to, you know, you being the recipient possibly of some assistance in the future, what is the conversation that you would recommend to people, especially adult children with parents? What are some of the questions and conversations they should be having even now?
Well, I think you need to open the line of communication. And I know one thing I think we did do right in that first scenario of caregiving is we enlisted the help of our kids, which I talked about. And they were young, but we had them over there cleaning and cooking and helping. And yeah, it was uncomfortable at first. They didn't like to see Bill laying in a hospital bed, even though he was in his home, hooked up to a few different tubes. They got over it quickly because mm-hmm. we just said, he loves you. We love him. This is the right thing to do. And they stepped up. So they got some experience pretty early on. But I know so many people who, as you said, it may not be your parents going to be going through that, but surely I bet older aunts and uncles, mm-hmm. older cousins, grandparents are elderly and infirm. Maybe they're in a nursing home. You know, as young adults, I would like to just say, take some time with them, mm-hmm. have some conversations with them, mm-hmm. and realize just because their bodies have stopped functioning and maybe even their minds aren't what they used to be, they're still alive and well on the inside and they need you. Mm-hmm. And your impact in their life, if you only visit them once every other week just for a conversation, will do a remarkable, you know, it would just be a great gift you can give them.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you have to talk about the future. And I think it's good. We've talked about it with our kids. What will happen when we get older? And of course, they all say, we'll never let you go to a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's pleasant to say, but you don't know. Mm-hmm. It all depends on where God takes us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's so important, too, especially for the young adult listening here. If they're thinking of how can I support my mom and dad as they're caring maybe for my grandma and grandpa, mm-hmm. I think to really come up with something concrete so that it is something where your parent can count on you. Maybe it is, you know, an afternoon on the weekend mm-hmm. or something consistent where you say, you know, it's almost like you're going to love your grandparent too, but it's truly a way to love and serve your parents mm-hmm. and be a support to them. You know, I have told our audience that I was super convicted in reading 1 Timothy 5 of that idea of like, it is the responsibility of the children and grandchildren. Hey, grandchildren, you're there too. To care for mm-hmm. widows, for those in their family and stuff. And I just had to think to myself, yeah, okay, practically, what does that look like? And mm-hmm. for me, it meant taking mom in when no one else would, and her money right. was running out and stuff. And it was literally the hardest thing I'd ever done. But I could see how God met me every step of the way. And it started with the mindset of, okay, if I'm going to commit to do this, then I'm going to need to pull in the resources and the people. I'm going to have to be willing to ask for help. I'm mm-hmm. going to have to be willing to put my needs out there and not be all put together because I will not be in right. this process.
Right.
So.
Well, I think you have great suggestions, too, about the practical, like offer to take care of that elderly grandparent so mm-hmm. your parents can go have a date night. Mm-hmm. You know, offer or make it a commitment that, Mom, I'm going to clean your house from now on every Saturday morning so you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Or I'll mow the grass, Dad, every week so you don't have to, you know, take tasks away from your parents so that they can rest a little. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot of practical things and every situation is unique, but you know your own parents.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll be the one who is comfortable going into your grandparents' nursing home or into their home if they're ill and just spending half a day and being okay with that. And that's wonderful too.
Yeah. And I even think, you know, there are a lot maybe who are listening who are saying, yeah, okay, but I don't even like live near this grandparent. I don't whatever. Wherever they are, calls, cards, I mean, any way of reaching out and letting them know that they're not forgotten right. is so big. I mean, it's just such an opportunity to be a part of their life and a part of their day and just mm-hmm. brighten their day and, you know, remembering, not just remembering birthdays and Christmas and stuff, but just reaching out even on a consistent basis and saying, hey, I yeah. want to find out what you're up to and maybe update you on my life. I remember with my mom, I just felt like, she lived so vicariously through me, you know, she was always interested, oh. like, what are you doing? What are you up to and stuff? And so it was a great way to stay connected mm-hmm. even before she lived with me.
Well, if you have a smartphone, then you don't have an excuse. That's mm-hmm. what I tell people because you can FaceTime. And you know what? Older people, my parents do it with sometimes when I'm at their house with our grandkids, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't have to understand the technology. But if you do, and you're a younger person, you are savvy and all that, you know, you just get that iPad out and let them see you. Mm-hmm. And you'll see such a difference in their demeanor and how encouraged. They may talk about it for days.
Yeah.
You know, set up a once a week that you talk to them for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you can really make a huge impact.
Yeah. And even teaching them like what they need to know. Like, I mean, I have a lot of young adults that I've worked with who have kind of gone over, whether it's to an aunt and uncles or grandma and grandpas, and helped set them up on Facebook or showed them how to do this. So like, okay, we can, you know, when you see on your phone, there's like a FaceTime call coming through, just hit this and we're going to talk. And, you know, they might just need a little training or a little prompting of how to go about doing that. So give us a little bit, because I want you to get in. You actually have two caregiving stories. Then now the second one with your father-in-law, I think it was. But let's talk, before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about, again, I think you and I have learned a lot of like what we didn't do on the front end. Adult children now. So even the conversations that can happen among siblings about when the time comes, how are we going to divvy up responsibility? How are we going to, if we can, play to everyone's strengths? How are we going to talk about finances, time, you know, who's going to take on the lion's share of, you know, power of attorney and that kind of stuff? What, you know, I mean, would you say that even this early in adulthood is a good time to start talking about that, involve, you know, someone's parents with them in the conversation? Or?
Oh, sure. I mean, my kids are ages, 27 to 33. And I know from my oldest daughter's telling me they've already had conversations. So they're thinking way ahead. Now, maybe that's way, way ahead.
You're all offended. You're like, hey, what's happening here? Why are we already? Yeah. Okay.
But I think it's good because it just puts a seed in your heart and in your mind that may happen eventually. And then when they share with me what they're talking about, I can, you know, intersperse some of my own thoughts like, that doesn't really work. Now, let me tell you how that doesn't work. But that might work, you know, and you really kind of just talk through it. But it's all just a demonstration of love. How are you going to serve somebody when there's a need? And having the heart willingness and, like you said, the obedience to scripture to do it when it's in your face and you know that God is calling you to that job, you have to obey. But, you know, with, like you said, practically, boy, there's so much you can do ahead of time. It's like a game plan, you know, or it's like, you know, having a work project. Take it on like that.
Yeah. I think, too, something that was really helpful for me was realizing when I came into my season of caregiving that some things were going to have to go. I can't do it all. I can't be all that I was. And I remember making those decisions about, you know, ministries I was involved in church or things that I, you know, had committed to other friends, you know, to help out with and stuff. And I had to say, I'm just going to have to step back. And in this season, I need to devote my energies towards mom because she's going to need me pretty much full time, you know, when I'm not at work. And so I remember how there was a lot of grieving in that, because I remember going to church and realizing where I used to just stand in the narthex with a cup of coffee and yak with people. Now it was like, game on. I mean, I got to church and between getting mom's coat off, getting her to the bathroom, getting her to Sunday school, then we had to get the bathroom again. Then we went into the service. Then it was just like moving pieces. Yeah. You know, I was not chit-chatting with anyone. And that was a real loss for me and kind of a sadness. But I always told myself, okay, Lisa, this is a season and this is, you're giving this up for a season and it is a sacrifice and it is hard. This isn't just all like, hey, happy, happy, fun time. But I knew that, you know, in the end it would be worth it. And I could look even in the moment, for the little fun things and the good memories too.
I just love the whole idea of telling yourself this is my season, you know, and I had that a lot. You know, when I was rearing my children and I couldn't get into church because somebody was always crying or screaming or throwing a fit.
And throwing up.
Throwing up or blasting out of their diapers. You know, you at every stage of life, it is a different season. And one of my closest friends, when I was struggling with some of the caregiving, because she'd already gone through it with her parents and they were both deceased, she said, it's a season. Just tell yourself, this is my season. We don't know how long it's going to last, but it's not forever.
Yeah.
And it just helped me. Yeah. It just helped me think, I can't do, like you said, all those things, or life is really different now, and I don't really like a lot of this. It's hard, but it's okay, and God will give me grace for today, but this is the season, and somehow that just made me feel better.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird how I feel like books are written and articles, and people say that a lot about parenting small kids, but they don't say, Oh, yeah, that season actually comes around again when you care for the elderly or for
Absolutely.
The sick as well.
Yeah.
And we need to be okay with that. All right. Tell us about the story of entering caregiving the second time and kind of what you learned the second time around and how you were able to really be intentional about the way you approached it.
Well, the sad irony is that we were at a funeral for my husband's grandfather when my father-in-law told us he had esophageal cancer. Mm. So here you are, grieving over the loss of one man on the same day that you're potentially grieving over the imminent loss of another person you really love. Mm. And they just intersected. And I still had a lot of baggage, I'll call it, or maybe just unresolved feelings about the first time we had gone through caregiving with Bill some years earlier. And I just remember praying and asking the Lord just to help us. So I had a conversation with my husband, and I remember just saying, we've got to do this differently this time. And we did. And it was way better. I never felt guilt and conflict or frustration that I was being asked too much of. And I just, the experience was so different. But I was intentional about, both of us were intentional about bringing in the people we know that would help us do the caregiving. Mm-hmm. So we had a circle of family. That made all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And we were more seasoned. We finally could tap into all the medical, you know, the nursing staffs, the mm-hmm. people who could clean, anything that we could use, we did mm-hmm. so that we had more quality time with my father-in-law.
Yeah, that's great. And it's almost like, now, did you have to have, and because, you know, the closer family relationship, did you have to have the conversation about, or did he volunteer information about healthcare and finances and just what he was expecting from you? Or
yes. And you know what? He had that conversation with my husband, who was his son. And mm-hmm. he also had, another son and a daughter, and they all talked about it. He was very upfront about it. Okay. I think he had it all set up. Hmm. You know, he had been sick for a while and he knew it and he didn't tell anybody.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
I think he felt like that was his probably gift to his children, hmm. that they would not have to deal with that. And my husband took over. But it was wonderful for us to know exactly where we were at.
Yeah.
Because finances becomes an issue quickly for people who are just trying to help. And then all of a sudden the helping becomes not just one time a week visit, but five.
Yeah.
And then you're buying somebody's groceries. And then you're paying for the meds because they forgot to give you a check or their yeah. credit card. I mean, it can become a nightmare financially for caregivers unless they're proactive.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing we've established and talked about and even earlier did is the fact that, you know, with healthcare today and with, you know, advances in medicine and stuff, people are living longer. And it's not just like back in the pioneer days where you just got something and something took you out and mm-hmm. you didn't know you were probably like 60. But it really is. So I think this is going to be a reality for most of us, you know. For ourselves, as well as for those that we love who are mm-hmm. in an older generation, this will become our reality. But let's talk about now, Michelle, a little bit, just ways that young adults, like 20-somethings, 30-somethings, those listening, can really start pouring into the lives of others, whether it is older family members, whether it's someone in your church. I know people are like, well, you know, your mom's just been gone a year and I already have a couple other elderly friends now who I'm mm-hmm. in their life. Now, they don't have the dementia challenges that mom has. They're both very sharp, but they're both pretty frail. And so I help them with a lot of practical things mm-hmm. and then just hanging out with them. I mean, they're so cute because they're just like, we are always around old people. Can you just hang out with us? And it's just so cute, you yeah. know, to be there. Just a little, they're both sharp and stuff. And so it's really fun. So I just enjoy doing that. But what would you say from your experience or some other great ways that people can be a support?
Well, you know, one thing is I would talk to my parents and just pick their brain about what they need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd say, what's your need? If I could do one thing for you, Mom, if I could do one thing for you, Dad, to help you,
mm-hmm.
or what do you see? Do you think my heart's tender toward Grandma and Grandpa? Do you think what should I be thinking and feeling? I mean, talk to them
yeah.
and talk to people who are just a little older than yourself, that maybe you have a friend who is really good with older people.
Yeah.
You know, pick their brain. Go out. When they go to a nursing home to work on a Saturday or volunteer, mm-hmm. go with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just see if you can find your niche in that area.
Yeah.
You know, find what maybe God is calling you and you don't even know it yet.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing. And just be open. I would think, you know, to tell young people is life goes so fast.
Mm-hmm.
That when you're young, you feel invincible and you think nothing like that will ever happen to me. It won't happen to my parents. But boy, in my experience, I mean, people in their 50s are dying of strokes left and right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't know how much time you have. So use it wisely and one day at a time. ask the Lord, what would you have me do today? And just see what he says.
I think it's so interesting because one of the things with my two little elderly friends now, it's so easy to think when you're able-bodied, you don't even anticipate like what some of the struggles are for older folks. So like one of the ladies, when Christmas came, she really wanted help getting her Christmas decorations up, which I would just think, you know, oh, you just pull stuff out of a box and put it up. But for her, like she can't get up on a step ladder to hang stuff or to pull down heavy boxes from her attic and stuff. And I was like, oh my word, that is something that I can so easily help with. We can chat while we're doing it. She's going to give me the story on every single little thing that she wants to put up in her apartment. It's going to be really fun. And we did just that. And it was so cool. My other little friend is very physically frail. And I just realized one day that she needed her her kitchen floor scrubbed. I mean, that she just can't physically get down there anymore. And so something that I could help out with, you know. And again, I think we so often misinterpret like this idea that we have to have all these amazing skills and be all like, you know, some kind of medically trained or elder care specialist. And it's really not. It's just relationship.
It is. I always like to think of it as you're just doing life with people. And if you as a young person has to go clean your apartment today, well, an older person has to clean their apartment too. But you have the stamina and the energy and the wherewithal, whereas they don't, just like you helped. It's like looking at your life and imagining what, if you were disabled, you couldn't do it. And in a way, elderly people are disabled. They don't have the strength or the energy anymore. And they might be disabled as well. You know, and you put yourself in that situation and say, wow, I would appreciate if somebody would come over and clean my bathroom.
The other thing that we've done, which is really funny. I mean, again, I want to, you know, stress too, you can do fun things too. You don't have to just only clean for people, but do that. But but one of my friends is like, she's all about Skip-Bo, the card game, which I think I played when I was 10. But now we're playing Skip-Bo again because she just loves it. And so it's just kind of like, hey, we'll play some Skip-Bo. And then the other one is so cute because I have a relatively large TV with a couch that has like the electric like recline and stuff. And she just one day was like, I think I'd like to come over to your place and maybe we can watch some Blue Bloods. And so she just totally suggested it. Comes over, is all like splayed out on my couch, which she put up, you know, put her feet up and she was just loving it. And I'm like, oh my word, this is so fun. We're just being little TV buddies, you know, with that. So, and it was just great.
That is an important point. And I think we get all heavy, but why not have fun with somebody you care about? I mean, if they love coffee, bring them coffee or make coffee with them. If they like a donut, bring them a donut. Take them to a donut shop. Let them pick out five. You know, do something they really like.
And even hearing about, especially stuff, you know, that they remember from their childhoods or stuff, you know, back when they were, you know, strong and competent and young. I mean, reminiscing, they just love to do that. Talking about, you know, how things used to be, or especially if you're, you know, they're living in the town that they lived in decades ago, they can kind of comparatively, you know, give you some insights on that. It's just really fun.
And I think with older people too, scrapbooks were big for them in their age. And you know what? If you ask an older person to open a scrapbook, I mean, I think there's a treasure trove in there of stories like you just said. But if you're afraid you won't have enough to talk about with an older person, ask them to show you the, explain some of the pictures they have on their walls. Who is this? Where was that taken? You will find, you don't have to say much because they're going to revisit some of the happiest, maybe hardest times of their life. But they'll be so glad that they have somebody listening to them.
Yeah, that's so true. So, well, this has been super cool. It just even gives me more ideas of things that I want to do with my little neighbor friends and stuff that we enjoy doing. And so much of it is stuff that we're already doing. Like just another idea I had was, you know, my little friends, when I know I'm going to Walmart or the grocery store, I'm like, do you want to come with me? Do you want me to pick you up stuff? You know, very easy on either end of it. Something I'm doing already. Invite your little elderly friends or other people that you know and love who can come along with you. Just so many ideas. So
that's great.
Okay. Well, folks, the book is Caring for Our Aging Parents, Lessons in Love, Loss, and Letting Go. We've been talking to Michelle Howe. We want to make this book available to you. So we have got copies of the book for a gift of any amount to Boundless. We're going to send you a copy of this book as our thank you to you. So you know you need it. You know you're going to be here. You know that you have that grandparent or that aunt or uncle or that little neighbor or church lady that you want to start pouring into their life. And so this is going to give you some great practical ways of doing it. For a gift of any amount to Boundless, we're going to get this book in your hands. So, Michelle, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.